You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Side Community News, and today it is game day, and maybe the last meaningful game day of the season for the Pacers, depending on how a bunch of other results break. Pacers Bucks in Bankers Life Fieldhouse should be a very fun game. Pacers have really struggled with the Bucks this season, so we talk about how the Pacers can win this game and if they should even want to. Look at some standings from tonight's results and how it affects the Pacers. And of course, I want to discuss how the Pacers could lose their second-round pick this year. I kind of mentioned that on our Monday show about something I'm watching the rest of the season, but I want to explain the mechanics of that and if the Pacers should care about that. And then at the end of this, I mentioned it offhand earlier this week that I wanted to see Cassius Stanley playing in the rotation the rest of the season. The Pacers have clinched a play-in spot. I want to break that down even further. But first, and most importantly, actual basketball games. Pacers-Bucks tonight. Pacers have had just no luck with the Bucks this season. They played in February. Giannis played. Pacers got destroyed 130 to 110. Bucks hit 21 threes, 93% from the free throw line, dominated on the glass, barely turned it over. I mean, they rolled the Pacers. Giannis had an effortless 21, 14, and 10. You know, they dominated. They got good shooting from their bench. They got good contributions from Bobby Portis. DiVincenzo was great. Jrue Holiday was clamping everybody when he was playing. The Bucks just looked ridiculous. So then they played again in March, and the Pacers kind of knew, okay, these guys can really shoot, and Giannis is amazing. We better up the game plan. And instead, Giannis was out, and the Bucks shot even better. They hit 24 threes. They still made their free throws. They got 25 from Middleton, 20 from Connaughton, 28 from Jrue Holiday, 18 from Portis, and 12 from Bryn Forbes. Ridiculous shooting. They have just blown the doors off the Pacers twice this season thanks to insane three-point shooting. When you go to the Bucks basketball reference page, you know where it ranks the teams and all the stats compared to the league, the first thing your eyes go to is the threes, right? Fourth in 3 points made per game, second in three-point percentage. They take the eighth most. So they take a lot of threes, and they just drill them. If the Clippers weren't making literal history with their rate of makes from threes, the Bucks would be the scariest shooting team in the league. They're ridiculous. They're sixth in offense for a reason, and for a team with a defensive identity, to see their offense that high is just completely flummoxing. They're ridiculously good, and it's hard to talk about the Bucks and not immediately go to Giannis, who's going to finish top three, top five-ish in MVP voting, and the Pacers have no answer for him, right? They never have since Thad was gone. The 21 14 and 10 game he had in February was like the least effort I've seen him put into anything. Like they had no answers for him, and they were starting Justin Holiday, Sabonis, and Turner. So Sabonis tried on him a little bit, and I think after that game we were arguing that Sabonis should be on him more because they need more girth on him. And we saw last game what happened when Ben Simmons was going off on Justin Holiday as the matchup early. That's not enough girth for guys of that size. They need more muscle on guys like Giannis and Simmons who can just bulldoze their way to the rim. O'Shea Brissett worked well on Ben Simmons. So did Sabonis and Goga in a little bit of spurts, although Goga would not do well against Giannis. So I think we will see Sabonis and or Brissett on Giannis for most of the game. Try to throw him off his groove the most you possibly can. It's if you could do that, if you could actually throw him off, every team would try to do it, but he's going to finish top whatever in MVP voting for the third year in a row because he's insane. You cannot throw him off his game. He's averaging 28, 11, and 6, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Shoots insanely well from the field. One of the best defenders in basketball. Giannis is amazing, and that's why the Bucks are just going to be heavy favorites. And the thing is, when they hit threes the way they do, right, that's why they're so good, because you can't stop Giannis or stop their shooters. You have to find a way to stop their shooters. That's why I went to that first, because that's the thing the Pacers are going to have to do. You can talk about the two sides of the coin, and we do this all the time when the Pacers play teams with stars. Shut down the star, shut down the other guys. What path do you want to try to take? They're both really hard. If one of them was easy to do, every team would pick that path. They're both hard to do. The Pacers have not really done either so far. They need to do better at shutting down those shooters in this game, closing out hard, keeping with your principles. They've been doing better on defense of late, and some of that's just that they've abandoned a lot of their zone. Nate Bjorkgren admitted that after the Cavs game, I believe. I asked him about that, and I felt good that I was right because my untrained eye does not understand defensive coverages sometimes. But anyway, I think that if they stick with more man, they might be able to throw them off from three a little more than they have in these past games, right? Because when they were getting killed by the Bucks, Bjorken always thought, okay, I better junk it up. I better try to slow these guys down. And that zone kind of invites shooting anyway, so they just kept throwing it over the top and scoring and hitting the threes. So the Pacers have to do better defending the threes, or this one will be over before it even starts. Giannis is going to play this time. Injury report's already out. The only guy out for the Bucks is Axel Toupin. You probably don't even know who that is. So they're going to have their full roster, basically. They're going to be extremely tough to beat for the Pacers side. Brogdon's not going to play. Sumner's not going to play. The same usual other guys, Turner, Warren, they're out as well. Same with Jeremy Lamb. And Aaron Holiday's even questionable. So the rotation could look a little weird and make some of my last segment a little moot, but we'll get to that later. So hobbled Pacers versus healthy Bucks. Sounds bad. And the other thing I haven't even gotten to about the Bucks is they lead the league in rebounding, something the Pacers suck at, right? So back in February, 53 rebounds, for the Bucks, 11 offensive, only 46 for the Pacers, and 8 offensive. And their shooting percentages as teams were only 1.8% apart. So they shot very similar percentages, and the Bucks dominated the glass. I only bring up the percentages because in games where the shooting percentages are extremely skewed, like, of course the rebounding is going to be skewed. One team had more chances. Then they played again in March, like I said. Bucks had 55 rebounds. Pacers only had 40, right? But the Bucks shot 16% better. So that's where you bring up the percentages. They had way more chances at rebounds. And the Pacers did better on the offensive glass that game. They had 11 compared to the Bucks 8. But still, they have to do really well on the glass against this Bucks team who leads the league in rebounding for a reason, especially defensive rebounding, their first and defensive rebounds. They really like to make sure that it's one-and-done possessions and get the ball to push in transition. Giannis is an incredible rebounder for a perimeter guy. Middleton's pretty good at it. Jrue Holiday, for his size, pretty good at it. Brook Lopez is a great box-out guy, despite being not the best statistical rebounder himself. Bobby Portis has a nose for the ball, right? They have good rebounders. Pacers have to box out better. They've been having some guys box out better of late and some guys box out worse of late. Not having Jeremy Lamb and Brogdon play, they're two pretty bad rebounders for perimeter guys, has helped their rebounding a little bit of late, but I still think that's got to be an emphasis as well. Try to have more possessions go more than one shot. They were pretty good in the offensive glass against Philly, surprisingly. They won their rebounding battle that game. And if they can have some extra possessions, that could help too, because they scored between 110 and 113 in their two games against the Bucks. That's pretty good. You know, the Bucks' defensive rating's ninth. To do that well against a good defense like Milwaukee is impressive. And if they do that again, I'm sure they'll be closer in the first two games where the Bucks were just on fire. But they got to get a little closer, like 120, I think, if they want to win, because the Bucks are just insanely good. I mean, they average basically 120 points in a game. So they have to get closer to 120 if they want to win. And I think they can do it. I think the way the Pacers are playing, if they stick more to man and they shoot a little better from three than they have a chance to get that high. But I don't think they can stop the Bucks. I just don't. I think the Bucks, personality-wise, like personality is a weird word for this, but like the DNA makeup of the Bucks this year. Win the possession raw count battle with your rebounds, have Giannis and spray out for a bunch of threes is just really tough for the Pacers' weaknesses. They suck at perimeter defense this year, especially defending shooters. They suck at rebounding, and when they try to junk up defenses to slow down guys like Giannis, they give up all these threes anyway. The Bucks are the Pacers' kryptonite. The Bucks are going to win, I think. If the Pacers do win, I mean, they could continue to try to sniff around 500, which would be the wildest ending to the season ever if they somehow get to 500 after the season they've had. But I do not think that is going to be a thing that happens. I think the Bucks are going to run away with this one. And the Bucks still have incentive, right? They can get to that two seed if things break their way. If they catch the Nets, they can still get it. And then for the Pacers, they're still trying. The Celtics lost earlier, so if the Pacers win out, they can still get up as high as 7. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself with the standing stuff, but this game is meaningful for both teams, so we'll see what happens, but I would imagine the Bucks win. I think they're the better team. So speaking of the standings and stuff the Pacers need to focus on coming up, listen to yesterday's podcast if you want to hear about the Pacers' pass forward in terms of winning and trying to push up for that 7 seed, like I said, or losing and playing with the lottery gods. But I want to break down the games that happened tonight that impact that. And then something standings-wise related to them is keeping their second-round pick, right? The Pacers could be changing their roster up this offseason. Having a pick in the high second round could be a guy who's on their roster next year. So they could lose that pick. Let's talk about why. But first, going to take a break to talk to you about the great folks from rockauto.com, because chain stores for auto parts have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com, on the other hand, their prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest price possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do, for example. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for over two decades. It's the best place to shop for auto and body parts. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps. Whether it's your classic daily driver or not, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see everything you need. And remember, all those prices are always reliably low and the same for everyone. So go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box, so know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So quickly, before we get into the mechanics of this second round pick scenario situation for the Pacers, there were games today, there were NBA games today that impact what the Pacers can do going forward the rest of the season. It's too late for me to stay up and see the end of this one and report on it for this podcast, but Lakers-Rockets is very close. It's 103-99 right now. If the Lakers lose, the Lakers are locked into seven, and that could mean that the Pacers' games over the weekend, both against opponents playing for absolutely nothing. They cannot move in the standings at all. They'll be trying to lose. So that could impact the way things go forward for the Pacers. Other games that mattered for the Pacers. The Pelicans lost. That was the 39th loss for the Pelicans. The Pacers' peak losses is 39. So the highest the Pacers can get now in the lottery is tied for ninth. And the way the standings for draft picks works is if you finish tied in the loss column, it's a coin flip, right? And one team gets the higher pick in the first round. The other team gets the higher pick in the second round. It's a kind of tough way to do it just on a coin flip like that, but could matter, could not. So the Pacers at best can finish tied for ninth and coin flip their way tonight. They cannot get higher than that. Any one win by the Pacers or another loss by New Orleans makes that impossible. So New Orleans' loss makes that the case. The Cavs upset the Celtics, so the Pacers can still catch Boston, and we'll talk about that even more so in the second-round pick in a second. For the 7th seed in the East, which is something I'm sure they'd like to push for, hosting potentially two play-in games or playing the Nets instead of the Sixers could be appealing. And the Wizards lost to the Hawks. That was the final game. Oh, there were two more, actually. The Wizards lost to the Hawks. So the Wizards are now a full game, a game and a half, excuse me, behind the Pacers in the standings. Pacers' magic number to clinch the 9th seed is 2. Any combination of one loss from the Wizards and one win from the Pacers, or two Pacers wins or two Wizards losses, whatever, that would clinch it for the Pacers to host that 9 game for sure, and even potentially move up to catch Charlotte. Charlotte did not play today. The Spurs lost to the Nets. Why does that matter? Because now the Spurs are also 33-36, so the Pacers are tied for 12th in the lottery standings instead of owning it outright. They would have a coin flip with San Antonio for 12 versus 13 right now. So basically on the day, their lottery position got much worse. Their chance to move up to 7th in the East got better. So bad day, basically, for the Pacers if you want to look around the standings. You'd probably prefer at this point with the play-in clinched that things break your way in the lottery more so than able to push for more wins. But that was the night's game. So let's do a history lesson and talk about this Pacers second round pick. So first of all, 42 is where they would be right now in the second round. And that's pretty good. Like, I think that people kind of sleep on the top half of the second round in terms of good players. 42 in the last couple years. Admiral Schofield for the Wizards, 2-year career and counting. Bruce Brown the year before that, key contributor for his team. Thomas Bryant the year before that, key contributor for his team. Then a few weaker guys, but some good guys get picked in this spot, right? Bertans went 42nd, another key contributor for the Washington Wizards. Patrick Beverley went 42nd, right? It's a Zaza Pachulia. I mean, I'm just reading off names at this point. Steven Jackson, another Pacers legend there. So legend is a little extreme, but you know, it's like the top half of the second round is sneakily a good spot. The Pacers are just never there. So currently they'd be 43, excuse me. So let's do our history lesson now that I have opined on why this pick matters, even though people don't care about second round picks. 2016 NBA draft, the Pacers trade their pick 20 and a second rounder to the Brooklyn Nets for Thaddeus Young, and that trade worked out for kind of everybody. Thad was great for the Pacers for a few years, almost was a crucial enough defender of LeBron James to get them a win in the postseason. Good locker room guy to grow the Victor Oladipo era, navigate through that traded space. Anyway, The Pacers gave up the second round pick to Brooklyn, and it is reverse protected in the second round out through 2022. What that means is if the Pacers pick 45 through 60 in the back half of the second round, they keep it. And if they pick in the good half of the second round, it goes to Brooklyn. That's a little confusing, but basically the Nets said, we only want your second rounder if it's good. And by 2023, that hasn't happened. We'll just take it unprotected that year. So every year the Pacers have been making the playoffs, which means in the past, making the playoffs has meant that you automatically keep your second rounder because only 16 teams make the playoffs. But now that there's a play-in involved, the Pacers could technically make the playoffs but still lose their second rounder. So that was the history lesson. Right now, again, three games to go. Pacers sitting with that 43rd, pick tied for 42nd with Charlotte right now. So they need it to be 45-60 to keep it. And 45 makes it a little worse, but keeping it's always nice. But we'll get to the merits of keeping it versus not later. Anyway, if they lose it, it goes to the Nets. That would be the Nets' only pick in this draft, which would be very helpful for them, ironically. So what's at stake there? So currently 45 is occupied by the Celtics, who we just talked about earlier, who the Pacers can still catch. So the thing about draft picks is there's no tiebreaker based on your regular season record. That coin flip is the tiebreaker. So the Pacers, by being able to pass the Celtics outright, can still technically end up keeping their second round pick, but they would have to get into the 45th pick, which is currently the Celtics, who are 35-35. So the Pacers, if they go 3-0 or 2-1, and then the Celtics don't win any more games, the Pacers could get into a coin flip situation to keep their second round pick. Now, that's not the only way. The Grizzlies also only have 36 wins, so the Pacers could, in theory, catch them as well. Catching the Grizzlies would also be a way that the Pacers could get a coin flip to keep that pick. They also have 36 wins right now, though, so that would require Grizzlies not winning another game and the Pacers winning all their games. So one win by the Grizzlies and then a magic number of two between the Celtics and Pacers would clinch that the Pacers lose their second-round pick this year to the Brooklyn Nets, which would stink since they could get a decent contributor down the line, or at least another project, right? These high second-rounders are still good. So that's something. And the other thing is, let's talk more about the Pacers' second-round traded picks. This is super not interesting for some of you, but I love this kind of stuff. So the Pacers also in the Brogdon trade, fun fact, traded 2 seconds to the Bucks. One was 2025, and that's just going to happen in 2025. The other one was 2022, but the verbiage on it was 1 year after we trade our pick to Brooklyn, we'll give our second round pick to the Bucks. And that pick's now been traded from the Bucks to the Magic. That doesn't matter. They lose their second round pick basically for sure the year after they lose the second rounder to Brooklyn. So it could be behooving the Pacers to lose this pick to Brooklyn and know when you're going to lose all three of the other seconds you have going out. But if they lose their second round pick this year, they also lose it next year. So that's something just to note, is that if the Pacers cannot get to 45, there's no way to keep these picks. They will get traded eventually at some point anyway. But if they do not get to 45, they will not have a second round pick this season or next season. It will go to the Orlando Magic next season. Now, it could be good that, I don't know how many people know this kind of stuff, the double draft is coming eventually. If the NBA has kind of sniffed around removing one and done, so there could be a draft, and it's been rumored to potentially be 2023. There could be a draft where there are two draft classes in one draft, or like one and a half draft classes in one draft, because one group of kids who is freshmen who had to go for one and done are coming to the pros, and another group of kids who don't have to go to college are coming to the pros. So that's the double draft. It'll be a really good draft. And if it is 2023, having your second that year is really important. So it actually could be good to lose those seconds now so you don't have to deal with the double draft and you can keep your second rounder. That said, it's also good to keep it now because you get the pick. So some at stake in the second round stuff for this year and next year on the line over the next couple days for the Pacers. Celtics wins, Grizzlies wins, stuff to monitor there. And of course, Pacers losses. If they lose, they can only catch the Celtics for that, keeping that slot. They could lose the pick as soon as Friday, I believe, given the schedule. But Celtics not playing very well right now. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's something else the Pacers have to consider. Moving up in the draft lottery in the first round, obviously way more important than trying to keep a pick in the second round. So if them cratering in the standings to catch Washington or whoever in the first round is a possibility. They should absolutely still try to do it. They should not worry about their second round pick at all. It's just another potential consideration for the Pacers as the season winds down. Okay, that was me nerding out and explaining something I said earlier this week. Now let's talk about actual basketball again. Cassius Stanley, the Pacers' current rookie who they drafted in the second round, got some burn last game, pretty productive, and it reminded me of stuff I talked about earlier this week, and I said I wanted to expand on it, so I'm going to do that. So let's take one more break and do that. But first, of course, got to talk about the great folks over at BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season in full swing. Pun fully intended. You can track all the action over at BetOnline.ag. Go see how my Phillies and their odds are. They are playing okay this year, I guess. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including, like I said, MLB+, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA action, Preakness coming up as well. They'll have that there. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. For example, for tomorrow, they've got Clippers-Hornets. Big game for the Pacers to watch in there again. Their chase for a higher seeding, potentially. Hornets, Clippers favored by 8 points in that game. So if that result is correct, and that makes some sense to me as the Clippers try to hold on to the 3 seed, that game could impact the Pacers and be a way for you to win some money. So go check it out. Don't sit on sidelines anymore. Get in on that action. Head to that website, betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up and create an account there. All one word, LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Cassius Stanley has been interesting as a rookie, to say the least. The highlight of his season was certainly the dunk contest, and I don't want to say that to belittle what he's done in actual games, but hasn't really been all that good on the NBA court so far, right? Not finishing plays really well, only shooting 33% from the field, 25% from deep. Certainly not touted as a shooter or a play finisher coming out of Duke, right? The athleticism was the thing, some floor game was his main skills coming into the league. Has a nose for the ball, right? Looks like a decent rebounder for his size. But in general, has not played super awesome in his minutes, okay? And I understand that. I watched the Mad Ants, too. He wasn't super impressive there. I think Brian Bowen, the other two-way player they had down there, looked a little better. But that doesn't matter. Well, that's not why I'm talking about Cassius Stanley right now. The Pacers really liked him in the draft, according to Kevin Pritchard. Again, Adam and I talked about, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. They're going to say that about no matter who they pick. But, you know, his words don't mean nothing to me. So they liked Cassius. They got him on the two-way. They like, you know, developing their young talent and keeping it in-house. And Cassius clearly has something that is not teachable basketball-wise with that athleticism. So Cassius Stanley might be on the team next year. He might not be. But they invested resources in him. They sent him down to the bubble. They played him a lot down there to try to get him to grow. And I said on Monday's show, before the Pacers clinched their play-in, before they even played the Cavs, I said, I can't believe Cassius isn't getting some minutes in every game the rest of the way, because that seems like something they should try to explore for sure, right? Even if he's not playing very well, and we haven't seen him as a play finisher at all, right? What if he can grow into a good slasher, or you see him improve the rebounding or the defense in a way that makes you go, look, he learned that a little bit this year. Maybe that's something he can grow on next year on another two-way, and maybe he can get some rotation minutes and be a little more helpful doing that for us, right? Edmund Sumner got a two-year two-way deal. That was mostly because of injuries, but he played at the very end of the first year of his two-way, showed some skills, was good in the G League the next year, got into NBA games. Look where he's at now, right? Sometimes that second year on a two-way is the year that really pops. You can see the skills in the first year, yada, yada. I'm rambling to say that it's not useless to get in this time at the end of the season. Sumner played in that last game of the season on his rookie year, hit a layup, popped. We all know the deal where he's at now. So I think Cassius should be playing a few minutes every game. Against Philly, he got in that rotation for 5 minutes in the second quarter. I liked that. Now, to get to that point, a bunch of dudes had to be out. Aaron Holiday was the surprise late scratch that made Cassius's appearance against Philly possible. And Aaron Holiday could be out again against the Bucks. So, like I mentioned with that Aaron Holiday stuff earlier, this could not matter. They could be forced to play him, basically, right? They could just stumble into the game and go, well, we don't have enough healthy bodies for a rotation unless Cassius plays the smallest amount of two guard for a few minutes, and that'd be great to me. Even if it's just that 5 minutes, right? We saw him hit a three against Philly. He has not been shooting well all season. He hit a three against OKC in that game. He played for like 13 minutes or something, and he hit a three very early in the season, like his second or third appearance. That was in the year 2020, not even 2021, right? So The three, it was his third of his career. You want to see more of those attempts go up, right? Can he do that consistently? Can he even do it 30% of the time? At his athleticism level, that's impressive. You want to see more of that. Defense was fine. They only got outscored by 2 minutes and 5 minutes with Cassius Stanley and Goga in the game together and other young guys. I call that a mediocre win against a good Philly team, especially in the first half when Philly was dominating that game, right? But it doesn't matter what he did in just that Philly game. The point is, you kind of have to figure out what you have with your picks and your young guys. Do you want to bring them back? Are they worth exploring? I think the Pacers need to figure that out. They need to try to find a way to carve out 5 minutes every game for him. Keelan Martin has been sensational this week, right? Saved their asses against the Cavs. No doubt. Career night, saved their butts. Played great defense against the Sixers and hit 2 threes in his first stint. He has been phenomenal. And he earned the minutes he had. I don't want to say that he shouldn't be playing to take away from what he's done. In fact, he probably should continue to get minutes with how he's been playing. Jakar got minutes against Philly. Take away Jakar's minutes and give him all the cashes the rest of the way. Or if you want to reward Keelan for his good play. Or, you know, take away a few of Keelan's minutes and give him to Cassius. I just think there has to be a way. Take away some of Aaron Holiday's minutes at this point and give him to Cassius. As long as Aaron's still in the rotation, don't take him out completely. He's in the same boat. You got to see what he can do. But the Pacers have clinched the play-in now, right? They're in. The pushing for wins and not playing your young guys is pointless. Pointless for these last three games, right? The only thing more important than trying to develop a little bit in these games is health. No one get hurt. There's already too many guys hurt for them to. You know, their odds of a play-in win have already fallen thanks to these injuries. You have to try to develop some guys and have no one get hurt. And I think Cassius is one of those guys that it's three games. It's not really development, right? It doesn't mean a lot, but it's just get him in the games. He's going to probably play a lot that last game against the Raptors. These next two games are real games. Get him out there. See what's going on. His two appearances before Philly were both over 10-minute performances, and he showed some nice stuff. Just get him out there. Let the Pacers figure out what they have and see for sure if they want to bring him back next year. Okay, I got my rant out. I got my explanations out there. I think calling back to Sumner adds more context of why you try to explore it with these two-way guys, even on second-round picks, because they could become something. And Sumner's a similar guy. Raw skills coming out of college and super athletic. Can he develop into an NBA player? In Sumner's case, yes. Now, Sumner had a lot more on-ball skills and was touted much higher coming out of college before his injury, and of course had the injury to make him fall in the draft. Different scenarios, but the style of two-way to two-way, and Sumner's was 2 years, but whatever. The style of 2 years on a two-way coming into the rotation has happened for the Pacers before, and it could happen to Cassius, and they need to know if that's something they want to pursue. So they should play him these last three games. It's not a huge deal, but it's something I think they should try to do for optimal future growth. Thank you guys so much for listening. Adam will be back tomorrow. He's been busy with work, so I've been taking over more shows this week. But Adam should be back tomorrow to recap Pacers Bucks and talk more about, you know, we'll probably do dynamic every podcast. What's at stake the last X number of games, yada, yada, because the standings are so dynamic these days. So we'll talk about all that. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.